So if you have your Bibles, you may want to turn to Luke chapter 8. We'll be using Luke chapter 8 as our text, Luke chapter 8, verses 22 to 25. Let's read the text together and then pray, and then we'll get into the Word of God. I've entitled this message today, Embracing the Storm. And I know that I'm talking to somebody this morning, because at any particular time in our lives, or any time in our life, or many times in our lives, we're going through storms. And in any service setting like this, there's usually somebody here this morning who's probably going through a storm. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, amen, but there's probably somebody here going through something where they just really don't understand what's going on. Lord, what is happening in my life? The Bible talks about, and this is our text, I'm using it as an illustration of how God wants us to indeed embrace the storm. And our story, or our text that we use to illustrate this very fact, is the story of Jesus when he told the disciples to go across the Sea of Galilee, here in Luke chapter 8, verse 22. As we read together, he says here that now it happened on a certain day that he got into a boat with his disciples, and he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side of the lake." And they launched out. And as they sailed, he fell asleep. And a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, "Master, Master, we are perishing." Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said to them, "Where is your faith?" And they were afraid and marveled, saying to one another, "Who can this be? For he commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him." Let's pray. Father, we ask in Jesus' name this morning that you would bless your word, that will not return unto you void because of your great faithfulness. May you speak to our hearts and give us hearts, Lord, to receive that word that you have for us this morning. And we thank you, Father, for the ministry of your Holy Spirit. And we pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts, and that, Lord, we will leave this place different than when we came in, because we have been in your presence. We give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Well, God bless you. That was half of it. It wasn't everybody. I mean, but that's good. Embracing the storm. You know, I'm always amazed when I see this program on television. I don't know if you've seen this, called Storm Chasers. Anybody ever see that program on television? I mean, I haven't watched a whole episode, I don't think, because I just can't, you know, I'm watching it for a little while, and these guys, you know, are chasing tornadoes and all of this, and it just, to me, is fascinating. It's like, why would anybody want to chase a storm? Why would anybody go around doing that? And what cracks me up is these guys will get into a situation sometimes where, you know, there's all this drama is going on, like, you know, "Hey, we're going to get killed, but come back, you know, it's the man, he's, you know, all this stuff." You're going, woo, and everybody's just so suspenseful. But I'm thinking, I'm sitting there thinking, well, good for you. You deserve to be in that situation. You know, we don't know that. Good for you. What are you doing chasing a storm anyway? It doesn't make sense to me. Chasing a storm, but they see some type of benefit in chasing a storm, collecting scientific information or whatever to help them understand tornadoes and all these things. And I thought about that. I said, Lord, why? Well, anybody in their right mind, why? No one would chase a storm. But the Lord said, no, it's foolish to chase a storm. I didn't call you to be a storm chaser, but a storm embracer. I said, a storm embracer? Lord, I mean, what is it? You know, is there scripture for that? Well, yeah, James talks about James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4, James says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials." What? Yes. Really, Lord? Yes. "Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." The Lord basically is saying there, the apostle James, through James, that, you know what, you know, when we get into a storm, there's benefit from being a storm embracer. There's a benefit from being in a storm. But nobody likes to be in a storm. Nobody likes to be in a crisis. No one likes to really go through trials. But the Lord sends those trials really for our benefit. And that's what James is saying there. So I got that whole phrase from that very fact that, Lord, you didn't call us to be storm chasers, but storm embracers. And today we're going to look at this lesson here within Luke chapter 8. Because the disciples are going across the Sea of Galilee. The Bible says they launched out. And as they're going across the Sea of Galilee, they run into a storm. It speaks illustratively of our lives. Many times, God, when walking in obedience to God and trying to serve the Lord, you know, the Lord says, go in this direction. You go, oh, Lord, wonderful. That's great. Thank you, Lord. And we're walking along, and all of a sudden, halfway across, halfway through, you find yourself in a storm. And we have the same kind of reaction many times as we find the disciples reacting here, the reaction of the disciples here within our text. They panic. But in every storm, God's trying to teach us something. And it's always the same lesson about his faithfulness. That he is faithful despite our failures. That he is faithful despite the tumultuous situation that you may be facing this morning. God is faithful in the midst of the storm. And therefore, we can embrace the storm. Because there are things like those crazy storm chasers. There are things that God wants to teach us. There are benefits found only in the storm. Now, here's the lesson that the Lord wants to teach us. And again, that's about concerning his faithfulness. In verses 22 to 24, we've already said, but it said, you know, it happened that they got into a boat and they went across the sea and they launched out. And as they saw, all of a sudden they found themselves in a storm. The Bible says in verse 23, and they were filling with water. And the latter part, and it says, and they were in jeopardy. And I think here's this journey of joy all turns into a journey of jeopardy. And then the scripture tells us that they came to the Lord and they awoke him and said, Master, Master, we are perishing. And then he got up and he rebuked the wind and the water, and there was a calm. Like many believers, like the disciples back then, sometimes we have this idea, and the reason we panic a lot of times in the midst of storms, and we tend to believe somehow maybe God doesn't care about us, is because we think that really, rather than ourselves being created for God's pleasure, that really God somehow was created for our good pleasure. In other words, you know, Lord, you exist to keep me happy. And when I pray and ask you to do stuff, you're supposed to do it because your job, Lord, is to keep me happy. That it's really all about me and my happiness. And when we have that mentality, we sometimes panic when things don't go the way we think they ought to go. Because here they were going across the Sea of Galilee and things started to go wrong. They were doing what Jesus told them to do. In fact, in Mark, you know, this attitude prevailed because in Mark's account of this story of on the Sea of Galilee, the storm that the disciples are in here in Luke chapter 8. In Mark's account, Mark said that the disciples says, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? How many of us have probably said that to the Lord when we found ourselves in the midst of an unexpected storm? Lord, don't you care? Now, no one's going to raise their hand to that. You know, it's me, Pastor Al. I'll raise it for you. There's times I've looked up to heaven and said, God, don't you care? Can't you see what's going on? And yet they look over. It seems like Jesus doesn't care because he's sleeping. Lord, wake up. And I just imagine in my mind, and sometimes I read scripture, I put comedy to it, I put humor to it, because, you know, you got to have a sense of humor, amen? Life goes a lot better when you got a sense of humor. But, you know, I read the story, and I think, you know, they're probably going across. The Lord says, let's get in the boat, let's go across. They're going across, and then, you know, there's a little wind starts blowing, and they're like, oh, okay, yeah, storm might be coming up. And then the waves start getting a little rough, and they're like, oh, okay, you know. And then there's a little splash in their face, maybe a little water, you know. And they're like, okay, anytime, Jesus. Anytime, you know, do something. And then now the boat is filling with water. And they're panicking. And their faith that they've been walking in, you know, just trusting the Lord, all of a sudden they get real with God. Don't you care about me? Amen. And maybe I'm getting a little too excited for you this morning. But don't you care? Because, I mean, that's the way my life is sometimes. It's like, Lord, you know, first I come to you, and I may see this trial coming, and I'm going, oh, praise the Lord, God's good. Woo, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah dance on or whatever. You know, God's good. How you doing, brother? I'm doing good. See him on that Sunday. The next Sunday, you know, now the waves are getting a little rough, and they show up at the church, and how you doing, brother? Well, you kind of barely got your sea legs. I'm hanging. Praise the Lord, you know. And then the next Sunday you come up, you show up in the parking lot with water in your face, you know. Water's coming over the bow now. And you're like, you know, I don't know if we're going to make it or not, you know. And then the next Sunday you come in and the boat's filling up with water and you're sitting there in church and Brian's preaching the word, but you're screaming out to God, God, don't you care? Because you're in a storm. You saw it coming and you thought God would do something about it. And you look over to the Lord, and he's sleeping. And you're frustrated. And we throw our faith overboard. And that's exactly what the disciples did. But the Lord does care about the most important thing. He cares that you learn to live by faith and not your feelings. He cares about what's really important. It's more than just about our feelings, about our happiness, about what we think ought to happen. But Lord, it's about teaching me how to live by faith. It's not charisma that's needed in the church. It's character. And character is forged in the storms of life. Oh, I'd like to read a book on it, on character. Wouldn't you? Spiritual book on character. You go, wow, I've got all the character I need. But isn't it so true that the only time we learned the lessons that we remember the most were the painful ones? You know, you tell a little child, you know, and by the way, God doesn't call us adults of God. He calls us children of God for a reason. Because children, you know, you say, little toddler, don't touch the stove. It's hot. Burn. Hot stove, burn. Is that enough? No. Kids got to touch the stove. Ah! You know, and then now they know the lesson. Now their faith is maturing. Amen. Isn't it the same way with us? And so the Lord, he welcomes the storm because the storm, it reveals our weaknesses, and we don't like to see our weaknesses. We like to think we're strong and we're doing great. But oh, don't you know that, you know, we never stop growing until we get to heaven. And God's always got a lesson that he wants to teach us. And there's always something else that we can learn. There's always some other place in our lives where we can grow. And the way that God teaches us the best many times is by revealing to us our weaknesses. Because when he reveals our weaknesses, he reveals also his faithfulness. And what happens is we begin to trust in him rather than ourselves. And that's exactly what he wants us to do. But storms have a way of revealing our weaknesses, but also reveal the faithfulness of God. Well, I've got to move on. I can't keep you for 2 hours. But they wondered if the Lord cared about them. And he did care. And I think, and it's just my observation, my take on the thing, but here Jesus is. I'm thinking, he's the Son of God. He's over there asleep. I mean, this thing is, the boat, come on, the boat's filled with water. And yet he's asleep. Was he really? To me, maybe he was demonstrating them, giving them a living illustration of what it actually looks like, spiritually speaking, to be at rest in the loving arms of our Father in heaven in the very midst of a storm. The Bible says in Isaiah 26, verse 3, that you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. God will keep us in perfect peace. That's not a fairy tale. That's not a fable. It's a fact. But we must keep our mind on it. Jesus, his mind was focused on his Father and his Father's love. He wasn't panicking, but the disciples panicked. They missed the illustration that he was demonstrating for them. Now, this storm was really a difficult one, though. Kind of lighten up on the disciples. It was difficult from the standpoint that this was a storm that came up because, not because of their disobedience. There are storms that we create ourselves, amen? You know, it's like, Lord, I deserve this. I deserve this, Lord. What's going on in my life? I did it. Me, I'm guilty right here. But then there's those storms that come up because of your obedience. The Lord told them to go across the sea. Lord, why would you tell me to go and do something knowing, if you're God, knowing the end from the beginning, that there was a storm in the middle of the thing? Don't you exist to tell me, show me how to get around storms? No, he exists to show you how to get through. I remember the prayer Jesus prayed when he was praying to the Father. He said, and I hate this prayer, but he said to the Father, he said, Father, I pray to you, don't take them out of the world. And when I hear the Lord say that, I go, oh, no, don't say that. He says, Lord, don't take them out of the world, but keep them in the world. Keep them in the world. You know, it's a greater measure of God's love to me for God to love me as I go through something, all of my weaknesses and frailties, than it is for God to love me because I avoided something. The strength of God's love to keep me as we go through is greater than that love that would try to get you to avoid everything. And the Lord will call us to do something, and you're walking in obedience, and yet there's a storm awaiting you. And we wonder, like your disciples, what's up with this? What's going on? What's the problem? But the Lord, again, despite their frustration, he demonstrates his faithfulness, and herein lies the lesson of every storm that God wants us to hear this morning. Jesus arose, and he rebuked the wind and the raging water. The lesson that he wants to teach us this morning is that regardless of your storm, he is the Lord over that storm. Because he got up and he rebuked the natural elements of nature. And the disciples were amazed. What I find fascinating about this is that he rebuked, that word rebuked, the Greek word for the word rebuked is the word epitimao. Epitimao. It means to censure or to forbid something. It comes from two other Greek words, epi, which means superimposition, imposition over time, place, order of things, etc. And then timao means to affix a valuation or appraisal upon something. I love this. So with this rebuke, Jesus was demonstrating to the disciples, he got up and rebuked, epitimao, the storm. And what he was demonstrating is that his sovereignty, he is sovereign rather over every storm, in that despite the time or the place or the order of the storm, who caused it, how you got there, it doesn't matter, that he is able to alter its natural destructive course by superimposing his divine will and affixing, stay with me, affixing his appraisal and value on the situation. And you say, well, what does that all mean? Well, Paul said it this way in Romans 8:28. All things work together for good to those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. And so therefore, no matter what storm I'm going through in my life, and the storm comes into your life, and the disciples knew naturally, Lord, this is a storm. I don't know where you're from, but where we're from, when a boat is filled with water, it begins to sink. Aren't you going to do anything? Jesus stood up, rebuked the wind, rebuked the water, and the natural destructive course of the storm ceased at that moment. He superimposed his will over the destruction. Nature of the storm, and God is able to superimpose his will over the destructive nature of the storm you're going through, or whatever storm you may find yourself in. And whatever the devil's agenda is for your life today, he superimposes his will, and then he affixes his appraisal, his value on your life and on that situation. And what the devil meant for evil, in other words, God means for good. The devil says, this is bad. That divorce you went through, that job you lost, that situation you're in, it's bad. It's going to destroy your life. And God says, no, it won't. All things work together for good. Amen. I'm getting a little loud. Amen. I love that he's able to walk in, to come into my life, no matter what I'm going through, and rebuke the devil and say, no, it won't be that way. It's going to be this way. Here's how you value it. You say that it's destructive. You say it's ashes, but I'm the God who creates beauty out of ashes. Regardless of where you are today, he's the Lord of your storm. Jesus said, Mark's account, he looked at the storm, its destructive nature, and he said, peace, be still. And he can speak peace over your life today, over whatever you're going through, no matter what it is. So he is the Lord of the storm. The lesson he desires to teach us is that he is Lord. He is Lord over the storm. Before us, okay, we understand that, but how do I get through the storm? How can I benefit when I'm going through a storm? Well, I think there's two essential things, and I need to move through them quickly this morning. But the first thing is this, and that is, do not, if you're taking notes, first thing is, do not discard your faith. Isn't it amazing when you're going through a crisis or a trial, storm, substitute the word storm for trial, whatever. It's a storm in your life. And usually it's unexpected. When you're going through a trial in your life, isn't it amazing that the first thing to go out of your life, the first thing to go overboard is your faith? Where the devil says, why should you trust God? Why do you want to continue to believe? And we go, yeah, what's the use? Sometimes we come to church with that attitude. What's the use? There's no benefit. We're not receiving anything from the word. Our hearts just are hardened because we've been going through something for a while now. And you know what? We begin to believe the lie of the devil that says it's no use. We throw our faith overboard. You know, Jesus always asks the same question in every storm. He doesn't ask who or what, why or when. Those are the questions we want to know. We want to know who caused this, what's happening, why. Was it my wife? Was it my husband? The pastor, somebody, why is this happening? When is it going to stop? When is it going to be over? You know the question he asks in every storm? Same question he asked here in verse 25. Where? Where is your faith? Where is your faith? Yeah, Lord, but I got to know, why does, I don't, where's your faith? Yeah, those people down there, where's your faith? See, what it was, where's your faith? First thing he asked him in the storm, where's your faith? One of the other gospels said that he said, oh, you of little faith. And it is little faith. It is little faith that we have many and what God can do. It's amazing to me that I've seen all the great things God has done in my life, and it just takes a little breeze out of the north to rock my world. Oh, God, I get it. Oh, God, what are we going to do now? Al, didn't I just bring you through something? You thought you'd be dead by now. Don't you know what I've done? Look at, you know, look how I've raised you. All these things. That, oh, God, but, you know, why are you panicking now? Disciples were doing the same thing. If you read back in Luke chapter 6, 7, you know, in the Gospels, you see that they were witnesses to Jesus healing the lame, healing the blind. He raised a dead man back to life, casting out demons, all this stuff. They were witnesses. I mean, how big is watching somebody dead come back to life? Were you not dead? Did he not bring you to life? And yet, in a little storm, oh God, don't you care? This is the same one who raised the dead, who delivered your life from death, who gave you hope when you had no hope, who enabled you to sit here today when you should be dead or in jail or in prison or out on the street somewhere. This same God, a little breeze will come out of the north and we'll begin to doubt him and to be fearful. If he loved you back then, how much more does he love you now? Amen. You see, we cast our faith overboard because we we're holding on to our cares. But the Bible says do the opposite. If we're going to hold on to our faith, Peter says, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. I cast my cares upon the Lord so I can care about what really matters, and that is my relationship with him. Sometimes when I get my back against the wall as a Christian, it's like, Lord, I don't know what to do. And sometimes I love those times because I know God's going to show up and do something. When I'm in a storm, it's like, God, I can't handle this, so I know you're going to do something. So here, you take this. I'll take you. I'll focus on who you are. That way I'm able to hold on to my faith in you. Here's the second thing quickly. Is don't forget who you are in the midst of a storm. Hold on to your faith, but don't forget who you are. Paul said that in Acts chapter 27, verses 23 to 25. He was in a storm. Some of you know the story that he was being taken prisoner to Rome, and he was in this storm, and the people who were the sailors on the ship thought they were going to die. They're in this storm 3 days and three nights, and Paul, while everybody's running around screaming and saying, we're going to die, Paul was listening to the Lord. And Paul stood up in Acts chapter 27. He said, the God to whom I belong and whom I serve spoke to me. He said, it's going to be all right, that we're all going to survive. And I think about that story. It's a wonderful story of faithfulness. But what I get from that is that Paul never forgot who he was, even in the midst of the storm. He said, the God to whom I belong and whom I serve. Because a storm, the devil wants to get you in the midst of a storm to forget who you belong to and who you serve. Because the devil knows that if he can attack your identification, if he can attack who you are and get you to doubt who you are, then you will also doubt where you're going. And Paul says it this way in Scripture. He says in Romans 8:18, he says, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Because God has set his love on us, regardless of what storm I'm going through, God is going to bless me. That God is not going to let me down. He's going to get me to my destination, just as he got Paul to his destination in Rome. God is not going to let us down. Why? Because he has set his love upon you. David said that the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd. He leads me by still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness. Why? Because I deserve it? Because I'm so cute? No, but because for his name's sake. His name's sake is upon you. You belong to him. And because you belong to him, he will be faithful to you because his name is at stake. His reputation is at stake, and he will be faithful to you. Don't forget who you are. You're the son of the living God. He has poured his love out upon you. You belong to the King of Kings, his child, and God's not going to abandon you. The work he began in you, he will also complete it to the end. Nothing, the Bible says, will separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So you know what? When I find myself in a storm, I can embrace the situation. I don't like the situation. I can embrace the situation. Say, God, teach me now. Because I know you stand as Lord in this storm. Show me what you want to show me. Help me to grow through this. Help me to learn from this. Because you're faithful. And you'll bring me through the storm. Three things I want you to remember as I close today. And that is simply this. Number one, if you're in a storm, always remember Jesus is in the boat. Your friends, your finances, and your feelings may jump ship. But Jesus is always in the boat. He said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Number two, storms are opportunities for you to mature your faith. That's what James was talking about. I rejoice in trials. Oh, James, shut up. but that's what he was saying. Because I don't like the whole trial thing. But you know what? Now I've learned over the years, that's how I grow. God doesn't want you to remain, infants and immature in your faith. He wants you to grow. And there'll be testing. There'll be times of testing in your life. And he wants us to mature. That storms become a classroom whereby God teaches us. And so the psalmist says in Psalm 119, verse 71, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. You see what I mean? That's how we learn. It's through affliction. And lastly, storms will pass, but God's promises will always last. Heaven and earth will pass away, but his word will remain forever. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, "For all the promises of God in him are yes and amen. In him, amen, to the glory of God through us." This is the purpose of the storm. Inevitably, it's about God's glory. Storms will pass. Somebody once said, "You know what? I'm going through hell." And someone responded, "Keep going. Don't stop." That's our problem. We go through hell and we think, "You know what? I'm so used to being in hell, I think I'll just build my house here." Yeah. People are passing by you, you know, years later, 20 years later, people are passing by. Yeah, he's still stuck in the same place. She's still stuck in the same place. Built a little lean-to out there. They're still there in that bitterness, in that unforgiveness because of that storm in their life, and they're stuck. Hey, keep moving. As we go through the valley of the shadow of death, he is with us. His rod and his staff, they comfort us. You're going through something? Keep going. It too shall pass. God is a faithful God. He is the Lord of our storms.